Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show with your host, Dana Rodriguez. Joined this week by teacher Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. Here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend and can join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which, after all, is nothing without you because we are at Audience Participation Quiz Program. I want to give you all the information about the show up front, and then I have a few words to say. Just to remind you of our two phone numbers, and those are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Our email address is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER 1. That is the numeral 1, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. A podcast of the show should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org. We will be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. We're starting the show a little bit differently tonight because we had some very sad news over the weekend. Our great friend Jerry Nachman passed away at the age of 80 of natural causes. We're going to miss him very, very much. He was a very basic part of the show for, almost 24 years. And I don't think the show would have happened without him, actually, because he's the one that introduced the idea of the show to KPFA in Berkeley. And they put us on the air, and then they liked us well enough to put us on a continuing basis. So it's really his contact over at KPFA that got the show going. And, of course, he was a constant presence here for 24 years, except when he would take his trips to London or New York or go to the Shaw Festival. You know, he always did that every year. And he was also a constant source of friendship to all of us here. He was a curmudgeon. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But that was part of his charm.
His character.
His Absolutely. Character. His yeah. charm. He had a bottomless resource of, not necessarily trivia questions, he had a bottomless resource
of stuff.
Of stuff
yeah.
and experience in the newspaper business and the writing business in general. He was a prolific author, a very fine newspaper person, a great critic.
He was.
And he would be extremely missed by all of us here.
It would be a good time to – his books are fabulous.
His books are great.
Showstoppers and Seriously Funny are two – they're not just nostalgia. They are so well written and interesting and well researched and – kind of wonderful. So if you're interested at all in the songs that made Broadway Broadway, sort of his right. era, and the people who changed comedy in the 50s and 60s, he was really an authority on those and was quoted a lot in the New York Times for that.
I will say that my favorite is Raised on Radio. And we never got tired of plugging his books on the air. And I know he appreciated
even
that.
Even he didn't get tired
how
of
many,
it.
How many were sold for that reason? I have no idea. But we did our best for him.
And he just lit up when he would talk about those things.
Yeah,
it was at his fingertips. It was such a part of his character.
He loved the theater. He loved the history of the theater. He loved American music, the Great American Songbook.
And he loved Jewish deli food.
Jewish deli
yeah,
food.
Yeah, we discovered that. He could not get a good enough bagel or corned beef ever.
He didn't like a big fuss being made about him unless there was a present involving chocolate involved. then he was fine with it. But he was, as I said, he was a friend to us. He was a personal friend to us, and he was a great friend to the show. And he really enjoyed coming down here and doing the show. I think he liked, it was just the idea of doing this kind of show on radio, because it sort of, I think it took him back to the great days of radio that he grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit like that. So
it's very old-fashioned. It's very low-key.
Yeah.
He was on the first show that I was on about 10 years ago.
Right.
He was so welcoming and warm to me and did become my friend.
Yeah.
You know, came to our wedding with you and just was a delight to kind of share this last part of his life with him.
And Lori gave a wonderful party for him on the when he was, did his last book.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had a sing-along.
We did. Sue and I threw a nice party with food flown in from New York and great stories about show-stopping songs. Yeah, it was terrific.
And although Kira only met him once, he did mention that how much he enjoyed her on the show.
I appreciated that I got to be on the show with him at least one time.
Good.
And that man can eat a cookie with emphasis.
Yes.
It was his specialty.
It really was.
Not well known.
He was always very pleased when there was food here and cookies, or Debbie Kennedy would make brownies.
My grandmother had a Yiddish expression called...
Coffee?
Yeah.
All right.
Kinahora was what my grandmother would say, like... She said about me, like, look at that guy eat. That's what I thought about Jerry. Like, oh, he could really.
But
yeah.
he wouldn't just eat. Like, it would be an emphasis. Like, if a, you know, if a question wasn't going his way, he might eat a different, you know, he would eat differently.
It's like punctuation marks.
It was. Yeah. He would use it as punctuation.
He was a meat and potatoes guy.
Yeah.
And because I know, because I went out to dinner with him a few times, and he always ordered meat and potatoes.
He took Sue and I out to thank us for the party to Original Joe's, and it could have been 1957.
Yeah.
He knew the maitre d'. He knew that it was which meat and potatoes dish was he going to have.
Right.
It was a treat, and not lasting, but. I want to emphasize again, he's such a good writer. He just is all those years doing his newspaper column, when it turns out in his books, it's really interesting. And is such a voice of his authority and humor and curmudgeonliness. He isn't nice when he doesn't want to. He's not nice for the sake of being nice, which I love about him.
And he had wonderful stories about show business. He'd tell you if you pushed him a little bit. And
he knew a lot of people.
If you ever went to his house, you could tell you stories about meeting Jerry Lewis, and he had a signed picture of Stan Laurel up on his wall.
On his wall, we were at his house once. He had thank you notes from Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett, who wrote him personalized thank you notes for good reviews he gave of their nightclub shows.
Right.
Now, it must have been an era that doesn't exist anymore.
No.
You know, like, hey, Jer, thanks a lot. Glad you were at the thing, you know, kind of that ring-a-ding thing. And he had, you know, his office was like a museum, like a Nachman museum of just great, that entertainment business in the 50s and 60s, or going back to the 40s. He was really part of that as a reporter and participant in. It's lovely.
And he loved the cabaret scene in San Francisco. And I think he was responsible almost more than anybody else in sort of keeping it alive and keeping it going and helping it to, you know, become what it is. And, anyway.
His obituary in the Chronicle and the piece that Leah Garchek wrote today, people should go on SFGate and look at them. They're wonderful.
Right.
Real tributes to him. One about his professional life and one more personal from Leah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do the show, of course, but we'd like to invite you, if you like, no pressure to do anything like this, if you would like to talk about Jerry a little bit, if you had some memory of him or some favorite thing that he might have done on the show, or maybe you knew him personally away from the show, feel free to talk about that because we would like to hear it. So anyway, we're going to start the show now, but I just want you to know that you are more than welcome to talk about Jerry and during the next hour. All right. So all that being said, we're going to start with Kira Pace.
All right. I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a list question. So here we go. When his birth name was unavailable, when he went to get his SAG card, performer Joseph Lane chose the first name Nathan. He chose this name for what character in what musical?
Guys and Dolls, Nathan Detroit.
That's correct.
Who he ended up playing on Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a great revival, I understand. Yeah.
All right. So that is correct. And a very similar sort of question here. I'm going to give you five names right now. They are David Bowie, Katy Perry, Michael Keaton, Albert Brooks, and Stuart Granger. Once again, that's David Bowie, Katy Perry, Michael Keaton, Albert Brooks, and Stuart Granger. Each of these is a stage name of a celebrity whose birth name is the same as another celebrity. What were these celebrities' names at birth?
Well, I know Albert Brooks was Albert Einstein.
That is right. Correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Stuart Granger was James Stewart.
Yep, Jimmy Stewart. Sure enough.
And who are the, let's see, Katy Perry, and who are the other ones once more?
David Bowie, Katy Perry, and Michael Keaton to your left.
Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Keaton wasn't Buster Keaton, was he?
No, but interesting story. So he took his name because he really liked the sound of it from Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton's real name
is Buster Keaton.
Was, I believe her last name was Hall. I mean, I think she's Annie Hall. So she couldn't have her name either. So she took her name from, it might have actually been Buster Keaton. I know she took her name from a much older source.
But I don't know Michael Keaton. I don't know the other
two. I don't know either.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. So the three we have left are
David Bowie, Katy Perry, Michael Keaton.
Was David Bowie's real name the name of a singer also?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Was it one of the Monkees?
It was one of the Monkees.
Yeah, Davy Jones?
Davy Jones, yes.
Right.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okay. So we still have Katy Perry and
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. All mm-hmm. right.
David Bowie's that much older than Davy Jones?
I don't know that he was older.
Not it's really.
Just, he just took his name when he
just
became.
Kind of, yeah. So, Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a number of questions as a tribute to Jerry, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But they're right up his alley and I think right up ours. So in the book Showstoppers, he talks about songs that literally stopped shows. And people stopped, applauded, and frequently had to do encores. And then he wrote about them. I'm going to give you six really well-known shows. And they either have one or two showstoppers in them. So that's what I want from you or the audience.
Okay.
First is Oklahoma. Second is Guys and Dolls, Nathan Lane fame. And those just have one showstopper. These others have two. South Pacific, Damn Yankees, My Fair Lady, and West Side Story. So those were all Jerry's wheelhouse shows. I think Leah said that after 1980, he didn't like any theater at all.
Well, no, you know, actually, he told me not that long ago about that he liked Jersey Boys. He went to see that, and he really liked it.
And it's in here.
Yeah.
And I know his editor wanted him to have Rent and Book of Mormon. Yeah, he did like Jersey Boys, kind of as a throwback.
Yeah, uh-huh.
True. Anyway, so Oklahoma, Guys and Dolls, and then those have one each. And South Pacific, Damn Yankees, My Fair Lady, and West Side Story, showstoppers from each.
Well, Guys and Dolls, excuse me, is that Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat?
No.
Oh.
What about West Side Story, I Feel Pretty, and I'm between two. Let's go with the Schmaltz. Let's go with The Place for Us.
Both wrong.
Really?
They tend to be upbeat tunes, though, don't they, generally?
I'm looking at the whole list, and I would say mostly, but not completely. If you went with upbeat, you'd be...
Give the
Oklahoma list. And Guys and Dolls are the two with one song, and then South Pacific, Damn Yankees, My Fair Lady, and West Side Story. If you think rousing...
Well, America has got to be
one of them.
For,
yeah. Right. I Like to Be in America. That was a big showstopper. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Leave the rest out there. Kira, do you have more? You look like you had one more.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
And, so how about Get Me to the Church on Time for My Fair Lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That surprised me when I saw it, but it's in there.
Right.
Very good.
Okay.
Give yourself a bell. Right. So one more for My Fair Lady and West Side Story.
Would it be that Rain in Spain song?
Was it called
Rain in Spain?
It's called The Rain in Spain.
Okay.
And Jerry writes about it. It was a complete surprise that it was such a big hit, but every night, the kind of silliness of it and all that. So another bell for that.
Good job.
So My Fair Lady's off. We'll get the rest
as
we go along.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. So I'm really sad to hear about the passing of Jerry. Yeah,
thank you.
Voice was such distinct and so pleasant and so nice. I can't believe it.
Thank you.
I have doubt. Why the hell are we here? What are we doing when the nicest of us, you know, just go, you know, just die? And the worst of us stay forever. I'm sorry to say. But I really do. I'm thinking about what is the concept of why are we here? What's life? Okay, so sort of that. You know, since we had this horrible incident in Syria a couple of days ago with poisonous gas, in my belief, I think it is a false flag because Assad had not to lose, nothing to gain to do it. It was done probably by somebody else. So what are the most toxic element on Earth?
Most toxic element on Earth?
Yes. Only small, tiny grain in your stomach or your lung can kill you. Not very quickly, but it can kill you.
Is it polonium?
Yes. No, not, it's off a little bit.
Oh, not plutonium then?
Plutonium. It is Russian used.
Yes, polonium is no picnic.
Yeah, polonium-210 is what the Russian used to kill that beautiful journalist. I forget his name. And whatever they did in England. But I think the England one also seemed to be a false flag as well. Okay, second, what is the most toxic chemical? Not element, that's chemical, so it is compound.
Dioxin?
No, not by far. This thing is far more.
Far more.
Toxic. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a hint. Actually, very easy to make. Not to give hints to bad people.
Is it mustard gas?
No. You actually can do it in your kitchen if you are careless.
Mustard gas.
Something with ammonia?
No.
Ammonia?
No. You can do it by mistake.
With ammonia or bleach?
No. So I'll tell you about bleach in a second. No, you can do it by cooking, by not doing good job.
E. coli?
Salmonella.
No.
What about carbon monoxide?
No. Okay. I'll give you the answer because, you know, I want all people to call express their sadness about Jerry. Okay, it is botulism.
Oh, botulism. All right.
Botulism is the deadliest compound. And actually, a lot of people, every once in a while, somebody die from it by eating canned food. If you do canned food, well, companies, they heat the cans beyond, living bacteria, and that's why they don't have a problem. But people who can, like pickles or do things, if they don't do it correctly, small, tiny bit of botulism will kill you. But also the interesting thing, it is used in cosmetics. You know that?
Mm.
Botox.
Yeah, for wrinkles. Well, always great show, and I'm really sad. I'm really, really sad about Jerry, and I hope everybody, pray for him as well. I think he's right now probably listening to us, probably is with us. Have a very good night.
Thank you.
The show goes everywhere, so that might be happening.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're thinking about the passing of Jerry Nachman tonight. If you have anything you'd like to say about that, feel free to do that. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight is technical editor Kira Pace, semi-retired college professor Lori Fisher, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Okay, let me give you a couple questions here, one I think Jerry would have liked. What famous song from the 1950s, and it's a very famous song, and it was also later a film title, the song was used as a film title, was awarded ASCAP's award for the most performed feature film standard. So what famous song from the 1950s and later a film title was awarded ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, I think that's it, isn't it, was awarded ASCAP's award for most performed feature film standard.
So this is a song written for the movies?
It was written for the movies, written in the 1950s.
And it's the most performed the 50s.
Since the 1950s. It won the ASCAP Award for the most performed feature film standard.
That's a really good question. Was it from a musical or was it more of a soundtrack?
It was from a musical.
All right. Singing in the Rain.
Not Singing in the Rain. This was written in the 50s. Singing in the Rain's older than that. Singing in the Rain's written in the 20s.
Oh, the song was?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And was it a Broadway show first?
It was not.
Okay. So just straight to
just
film.
Just straight.
So
straight
movie, musical.
Okay. Straight for a film.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And is the composer somebody we'd know, like Cole Porter?
Yeah. Maybe not quite as well known, but well known.
Okay. So we'd sort of know
you
him.
I think you would, yeah.
All right. And it's a single person, not a...
No, it's a team.
Okay.
All right, so think that over.
Was it sung in the movie itself?
It
performed?
Was, okay. A couple times. So what very famous song from the 1950s, and also later the song was used as a film title, was awarded ASCAP's award for the most performed feature film standard?
It's a great question. Jerry would love this
question.
Yes,
he would.
Did the film maybe become a Broadway play at any point?
I don't think so.
Or a Broadway musical?
Not that I know of right offhand, no.
Oscar-winning song?
No.
Okay.
Oscar
it was
nominated?
Not an, might have been. Okay. I'd have to look it up, but I can't tell you right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's an extremely well-known song. All right, second question. What was the first novel in English? And I think it might be the only one too, but I'm just saying to be on the safe side, I'll say the first. What was the first novel in English to have scenes from the novel depicted on a series of postage stamps? It's a very famous novel. What was the first novel in English to have scenes from it depicted on a series of postage stamps?
All right.
A series of six, I should say.
I want it to be Charles Dickens, because he's saying in English, he didn't say in the United States, and it's always Charles Dickens. So let's go with A Christmas Carol.
It is not Charles Dickens. It is not A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
So Dickens is out.
Yes.
Is Kira right that it's a British novel?
I don't think I'm going to say it yet.
Okay.
Well, then the other, like,
the other
always
one would be
answered,
Huck Finn other go-to.
That is not it either.
Okay. Or is it Mark Twain?
It is not Mark Twain.
All right.
So what was the first novel in English to have have scenes from the novel depicted on a series of postage stamps, the series of six?
Oh, what about Alice in Wonderland?
Not Alice in Wonderland.
The Wizard of Oz.
Not the Wizard of Oz.
That's good.
Are we closer with these children-ish things?
Fantasy.
No.
How about this? Are we thinking way too far in the past? Is this more recent? As far as when the book was written.
You're closer than we saying think. recent.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is this going to be something maybe like Laura Ingalls Wilder?
It is not.
No. Mm-mm. Okay. Something like American Frontier.
So there
it's
have
a
been,
well-known
there
book,
been,
a well-read
there
book.
There have been several. I'm not, the philatelists out there will be able to tell me this. But there have been, of course, stamps over the course of stamp history that depicted, you know, individual scenes from novels or famous, you know, Huck Finn or whatever. But as far as I know, this is the only series that had six different stamps devoted to individual scenes from this novel. So
that's a great question.
Okay. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
That novel you're looking for, is that by Steinbeck?
It is not by Steinbeck.
Okay. I just want to say I'm going to miss Jerry very much, and I very much appreciate it to have him on the show. And I go way back to the KPFA days with you guys.
Oh, wow.
Good for you. Thank
you.
Yeah. And I have a question.
All right.
Jerry was preceded in death by one day by another pioneer of radio broadcasting. Who was that?
Oh, my. Oh, let me think about
that. A Bay Area celebrity?
Nope.
National. Or?
Yes, it is. It's a national hookup carried on commercial stations. And it's a phone-in show.
A phone-in show, okay. And a kind of a national phone-in show. Political or entertainment?
Well,
sports?
Okay. I'll give you a big, broad hint.
Okay.
Originally, it was entirely about paranormal stuff.
Oh,
subjects.
Right. Yeah, the creepypasta guy. It's his name. It's Art something.
Art Bell was
thank you. Oh, thank
Bell.
You. Good
Art
good
Bell passed away. Huh?
He passed away on Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, very good, Kara.
Right.
So
yeah.
The program still goes on with a different host. And I must say, it's not. It was a much better show when Art Bell was doing it.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they sometimes it's okay, not bad when they do paranormal subjects. But when they get into politics, they suck. That's my opinion, anyway. Okay. Well, anyway, R.I.P. Jerry.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Very
all right,
nice.
Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in Sausalito.
Hi, Mark.
First, yes, condolences on Jerry's passing. I enjoyed listening to him so much for so many years.
There you go. We did, too.
We did.
Yeah. yeah. So, Lori, when you used the phrase Kinahora,
yeah.
I perked up. My grandmother used to say it all the time, and I loved something I loved about it. Do you know what it means? Do you know the translation?
Not the precise one. I just know it was an expression of joy when I took an extra helping of brisket. But I don't.
Well, it's not exactly joy. It's joy mixed. When I tell you the whole phrase.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go.
It's from the Yiddish phrase. It's a contraction of the Yiddish phrase, kein ein hara. Kein comes from the German kein, which means not. Ein and hara means ein is I in Hebrew, and hara is bad or evil. So the phrase means not the evil eye.
Oh,
right. So, you know, something good happens and you don't want it to be cursed, so you say not the evil eye.
That's
should give you a bell for that.
That's a bell. Yeah, that's an extra. That's terrific.
How did it sort of move into what Lori was?
Into my grandmother's house.
Lori was thinking of.
Yeah, I think all of our Jewish grandmothers used to
say
that.
Yeah.
And hey, can I take a stab at the Showstoppers in Guys and Dolls?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm astonished it's not put on your Rocking the Boat.
Me too.
Was it the Fugue for Tin Horns?
It's not.
Oh, that's good.
There's two others I could think of. If I Were a Bell.
Not that.
Oh, man. Or I Love You, a Bushel or a Peck, the big chorus number.
The big chorus striptease number. Not that either. Amazingly enough, yeah. We now have four of the songs, but none of those. Huh. Yeah.
I'm stumped.
Yep. Get Jerry's book.
Great show. Great show. Condolences on Jerry. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And all the answers to the Showstoppers are in Jerry's book, which I'm plugging now, Showstoppers.
Was there dancing involved with this? Was there
In the Guys and Dolls one?
In the Showstopper from Guys and Dolls.
No.
Oh.
There might have been a little bit of a...
So it wasn't Luck Be a Lady, then?
It's not Luck Be a Lady, which is another... When you think about all the great songs in that show, this isn't the one that brought the house down.
For West Side Story, what about Officer Krupke?
That's it.
Is it?
Very nice. Very good.
Officer Krupke, very good. Something with a social disease, right? That was one of
I wanted contents. Jerry, when he was writing this book, I said, now, I've read that Stephen Sondheim said that the greatest 11 o'clock song of all time, which is usually the song at the end of the second act, in his opinion, was when I'm near the girl I love, if I can't be near the girl I love the girl I'm near from Finian's Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, I've heard that, but I have other things in mind.
pretty good impersonation of Jerry. Yeah.
So, oh well, I tried. And
Guys and Dolls is still out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what other ones are still out there?
Okay, so Oklahoma, Guys and Dolls. And South Pacific and Damn Yankees, each of which have two.
What about for South Pacific? And please forgive me if I have the wrong musical, but I don't think I do. What about I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right on My Hair?
That's not it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Mary Martin washed her hair on stage every night. You would think that was it. Not according to Mr. Nachman.
How about Honey Bun?
No.
Okay. All right.
This is good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Corona Heights calling.
Hi.
I'm going to make a wild guess at the most recorded. Would that be Green Grow the Lilacs?
That's the story material that Oklahoma was based on. But no.
It's too early.
Okay, then I have a question for you.
Yes.
Okay, put on your U.S. geography hats.
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to know the name of the largest city beginning with the letter Z and the largest beginning with the letter X.
Oh,
and I'll give you a hint. They're both in the same state.
So, United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you said V like Victor, right?
Oh.
No, Z is in zebra.
Okay.
Z is in zebra and X, you said.
X is in X-Files.
So, are these states west of the Mississippi? This state,
no, it's one state. It's one state, one state, but it is not east of the Mississippi.
Or west of the Mississippi.
It's east of the Mississippi, not west.
Oh,
And one state has them both, huh?
Correct.
Are they both pretty small cities?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Because there's a Zeno, there's a Xerxes.
But they're the largest with those. They're the largest starting with those letters.
Yeah. What about Florida?
No, nothing. You're way off.
Oh,
okay. Well, then I guess Maine.
This does sound like a little more of a New England or a upper Midwest kind of thing. Is it Catholic related, like Xavier or Zebulon?
No, that's a good question. But no, it isn't.
Zephyr's the Florida one.
Zephyr, yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's right. You're from
Zephyr's out. Zuckerberg is out.
Yeah, there's a Zuckerberg.
No.
Is there a Xerxes in Ohio? Isn't there a Xerxes, Ohio?
Oh, there is. I think there is a Xerxes.
Well, okay. Now I'm going to tell you, you've got the right state, but you've got the wrong
name.
Oh,
there's a Xenia, Ohio.
There's
a Xenia.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
But no Xerxes.
That was close to where some president was born or raised or something. Xenia. That's the X.
That's the X. X-E-N-I-A. The other Z is also right. In Ohio, amazingly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. David's right. I don't know why we didn't think of it. It's Zanesville.
Zanesville. Ding, ding, ding.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Good job,
spells.
David.
Good question. Way to go, David.
All right. Thank you. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. A song at the center of a film of the same name, I'm sorry, a song at the center of a film of the same name, so the film has the same name as the song, was shown in the film becoming a Billboard number one hit for the main character. This song, which was written for the movie, was covered by a different artist later that year, and, just like in the movie, it became a Billboard number one hit. What is the name of this song?
So a song is written in the movie?
A song's written in the movie and is performed in the movie, and it becomes a number one hit.
In the movie.
In the movie. Right. Which is named for this song. Later the same year in real life, a different person recorded this song, and in real life, it became a Billboard number one hit.
Did this song, I was either nominated or win an Academy Award?
It did, yeah. It was, rather.
I think I have a guess, but go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, I think it didn't win an Academy Award, but it does some of this. That thing you do.
It's not.
Okay,
no.
And it's not Fame either, right?
No.
Okay. What do you have?
Is it Thank God It's Friday?
No.
Because what was the song? Wasn't there a song called Thank God It's... There was a song from that movie that won the Academy Award that
really?
Year. Yes. And Jerry would say the standards really went down after about 1955, which is about right. But,
What era? Or give us a hint on the era.
It's not that long ago, is it?
Well, how long is long ago?
Well,
2000.
Is it more than 20 years ago?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
And is the movie a musical with lots of songs, or is this one of the things?
I wouldn't call it a musical. No, it's not. I mean, it's not like Grease, you know. It's not like that.
And it's a scripted movie. It's not
a documentary.
Scripted movie,
yes.
Some kind of monster or something by Metallica. Or yeah.
Okay.
They write a number one-ish song in that.
And?
Well, that's a complicated question.
It is an okay question. Maybe you should ask it once more. Just
okay,
on the same side.
Sure. A song that is at the center of a film of the same name was shown in the film becoming a Billboard number one hit for the main character. Mm. This song, which was written for the movie, was covered in real life by a different artist later that year, and, just like in the movie, it became a Billboard number one hit. What's the name of the song?
Was the star of the movie, the main character they're talking about, a real-life singer, a famous singer who was like making a foray into movies?
I think, no, not exactly like the way you say, but I think that someone like Jerry Nachman might consider her a famous enough singer, whereas it might be a little after his preferred time, but...
okay. All right. Out. And let's go to a call.
Actually, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hey, David.
Yeah, I'd like to join everyone expressing condolences about Jerry's passing.
Thank you.
You'll all miss him. Okay, so I have a few answers. Michael Keaton's original name was Michael Douglas.
That's true.
Oh,
Michael Douglas and Mike Douglas both taken.
Right.
And was Katy Perry's original name Perry Como by any chance?
Very good.
All right. Well, for damn Yankees, with the showstopper, you got to have heart.
Yes, that is one of them.
Makes sense.
Right. And then for the English novel, pure guess, or the English language novel, is it Little Women?
It's not Little Women. That's a good
guess.
Is it
Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Not that either.
Not that either.
Good guesses.
Well, I'm out of guesses there. I do have one... question for you, which has to do with one of my favorite lines regarding obituaries. I'll give you a quote from someone, and you tell me who purportedly said this. As a day well spent brings happy sleep, so a life well spent brings happy death.
Who said, is this an actual, on a gravestone, or is just something?
This is purportedly something the person said just before their death. I'll give you a clue. It's not someone famous for literature.
It is not?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you give us a field where this person was famous, or would that give too much away?
It would probably give it away. Most famous for art.
Oh.
20th century?
No.
Before?
Yes.
English speaking?
No.
Oh.
So can you say it in the original language? Yiddish.
I can, yeah.
Kinohora.
What about exactly. What about Monet? He was pretty old.
No. Artist, more famous than Monet.
More famous than Monet.
Older than Monet?
Yes.
How about Michelangelo?
No.
Not.
But getting closer.
Okay.
Oh.
Da Vinci.
Yeah, it's Leonardo da Vinci.
All right. Good job.
He did everything. Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. You have a good night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. So my next Jerry Nachman tribute is from his book Seriously Funny, the other book I recommend. So he has chapters on the comedians of the 50s and 60s. I'm going to give you the chapter title. You tell me who that chapter is about. I have five of them. The Elvis of Stand-Up, number one. Sing a Song of Strychnine, number two. And Now, A Laugh from Our Sponsor, number three. Televisionary is number four. And Charlie Everybody's number five. So it's The Elvis of Stand-Up, Sing a Song of Strychnine, and Now a Laugh from Our Sponsor, Televisionary, number four, and Charlie Everybody, all are well-known comedians that Jerry devoted a whole chapter to. I want to know who he was talking about. I'll give you one each if you get it right.
Charlie Everybody. Sounds familiar.
And this is sort of a hint. All of them makes, as Jerry would, the titles make sense once you know who it is. Go, oh, yeah. That
is Bob Newhart Charlie Everybody?
He is.
Okay.
Very nice. Charlie Everybody is Bob Newhart. Good.
Take one. Elvis of Stand-Up. No. Or what about Sing a Song of Strychnine? Okay, no. That's actually bad. Tom Lehrer.
Is which one?
Sing a Song of Strychnine.
Yeah, very good.
Is it really?
It is. And that's
you puzzled
good.
That out very
and I'm
well.
I'm so glad he's in the book. So we're looking, we'll leave out there The Elvis of Stand-Up and Now a Laugh from Our Sponsor and Televisionary. Love all these titles.
I should say that it just reminded me that Jerry is working on a book about Jack Benny.
He was.
And I'll be very sad not to read that book because I know he would have done a great job on it, and there's never been a really good full-length biography of Jack Benny.
The last time I saw him, he had met with the president of the local Jack Benny fan club, right. A woman in Piedmont who maybe listens to the show, and
right.
he had a delightful time going through what she had collected and pictures. And he'd been talking about the radio show and the TV show and his film
right.
career, so I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think there was plans for another collection of his essays to come
mm-hmm.
out. Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that, I think.
Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Sorry to hear about Jerry passing. I remember having a good-natured dispute with him as to whether Hoagy Carmichael could be considered jazz.
Which side was he on?
He was against it.
Big surprise.
Jerry had a lot of good-natured disputes with some of our callers. So
yeah, he was great. He'll be fixed greatly. At least he still lives in the podcast.
Right.
He does.
Which is great.
Sweet.
Did you get the David Bowie?
We did.
We did.
Yes.
Oh, Davy Jones. Okay.
Yeah, Dana got that.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Oh, Dana.
It was like a music
right.
question
the
on
monkey.
Two levels, and he
right.
got it.
Yeah, two musicians.
I'm a big Monkees
two pop
fan,
musicians who weren't Hoagy Carmichael.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Shoot. No, that's okay. Everything else I have is going to be guesses. I'll guess Katy Perry. Did you get that one?
No, she's the only one we have left.
Oh, Katie Couric.
Nope. That is a good guess, but no.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll guess the television area. How about Milton Berle?
No, a good guess, but not
That's
Milton
a
Berle.
Very good guess.
Yeah.
Or Sid Caesar?
Not Sid Caesar either.
Shoot.
Yeah. Sid Caesar's in the book. It's something like Hail Caesar. But so this isn't him, right. He either.
Easy. Steve Allen would be the only one I could think.
Yep, not in this list. Yep. Yeah, he'll be in a future list.
The song that was the Billboard number one hit, how about Take This Job and Shove It?
There was a movie called Take This Job and Shove It.
There was.
But I think it was that came after the song.
It was based on the song.
It was based on the song.
Like 9 to 5.
Well, hilarious. I'm afraid that's wrong.
And you said it was a female singer. Wait, actually, did you?
I don't believe.
Or did you not say?
I believe I left that genderless.
And how about giving us a gender now?
Female.
All right.
There you go.
Email. How about the Rose with Bette Midler?
See, that's exactly what I would have guessed too. No, it's not.
Shoot.
How about Evergreen by Barbara Streisand?
No,
that wasn't the name of the movie though.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, these.
Are we getting close now with this kind
Barbara
of singer?
Streisand
those kinds of songs,
okay.
I'd say.
They're somewhere. Okay, right. So it's not Hot Stuff with Harry Reid.
Good
other
choice,
favorite.
Though.
Let's see, the ASCAP most performed song, I'll guess Moon River.
No, not Moon River.
No.
Good guess.
Okay. The novel with the American stamps, or the stamps, is it Alice in Wonderland?
It is not Alice in Wonderland.
No. Moll Flanders?
It's not Moll Flanders.
No. Ah, shoot. Okay.
I want to see the Moll Flanders stamp collection.
Me too, yeah.
It's a rare collectible.
Yeah, you have to black out some of it, I think.
Okay, well, no bells this week, but I'll ask a question. I see that last month Merriam-Webster added a word to their dictionary, which was coined by The Simpsons.
Ooh. Cromulent?
It is a perfectly cromulent word.
Is it embiggen?
Not the one.
Embiggen?
Embiggens. Embiggen.
Good job.
Word.
And for someone, let's pretend somebody doesn't know, what would the definition be?
Of embiggens?
Yes.
To make greater.
Van Biggen?
It's exactly like it sounds.
like it sounds.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The town motto of Springfield, which is a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man. And one other, the 19th, Thursday the 19th is Bicycle Day. Do you know what Bicycle Day is?
Thursday the
19th. Oh.
April 19th.
419, so no.
419.
Yeah, is that
an area nothing
code?
To do with the
date?
The number. Okay.
No, it's not like Pi Day or May the 4th.
All right. It's not like
have anything
Day
to do with money?
No.
Okay.
Does it have to do with Earth Day being right around there?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm out.
I think we give up on that.
It has to do with it has to do with pharmaceuticals. In a way.
Bicycle. Pharmaceuticals. I'm drawing a blank.
No, so am I.
No?
Yep. Nope.
It's Albert Hofmann. You may know it was the scientist who synthesized LSD. It's the first day that he took it. He accidentally ingested it, and this is the first day that he apparently took it and rode his bicycle home. Because he was freaking out.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Thank you for that.
It's a good sign that none of us knew that.
All right, thanks. Okay, we're a little late doing this, but let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira?
All right. I'm looking for... So, Katy Perry was born with the same name as a different celebrity, so I'm looking for that name. And then a song at the center of a film of the same name was shown in the film, becoming a Billboard number one hit for the main character. This song, which was written for the movie, was covered by a different artist later that year, and just like in the movie, it became a Billboard number one hit. What is that song?
I'm looking for the showstopper from Oklahoma and Guys and Dolls, And then I'm looking for two showstoppers from South Pacific and then one more from Damn Yankees. We got My Fair Lady and West Side Story. I'm also here at chapter titles from, excuse me, Seriously Funny that we don't have. We need The Elvis of Stand-Up, Televisionary, and now A Laugh from Our Sponsor. We got to sing a song of Strychnine, Tom Lehrer, and we got Charlie Everybody, Bob Newhart.
All right. What famous song from the 1950s is written specifically for a movie, a 1950s movie, a musical, and was also later used as a film title, was awarded the ASCAP Award for the most performed feature film standard?
We need a hint on that one now. I'm looking at the time. Got anything?
Well, let's see. What can I tell you? Fred Astaire was in the movie. That helps.
Was he with Ginger?
He was not.
Was it Silk Stockings?
It was not. And second question, what was the first novel in English to have scenes from it depicted on a series of postage stamps, a series of six different postage stamps? I will say that it is an English novel, okay? I'll give you an extra hint on that. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah, Televisionary. Is that, if I can guess, is that Ernie Kovacs?
It is.
Okay.
Very nice. All and right. He deserves that title.
Yeah. Jerry loved Ernie Kovacs,
yeah.
By the way.
And much more in the spirit of Seriously Funny than Milton Berle, who would have been out of the old
right.
tradition. Ernie Kovacs really was.
He and I used to talk about Percy Dubtonsils.
Yes.
How much we enjoyed Percy Dubtonsils.
I used to watch that show with my dad when they showed it on Nick at Night.
Did you really? Oh, that's terrific.
And if you go to YouTube, there's a whole series of the little Percy Dubtonsils.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Nairobi Trio, that was his kind of mechanical monkey trio. Yeah.
Right.
Very nice.
Anyway, okay, I'm sorry. So,
Bandwagon. Was it Bandwagon?
It was the Bandwagon.
Okay. So that was with Nanette Fabre
right.
and the Ooh. Guy who I can picture. But was it a song that Fred Astaire sung by himself in the show?
They all sang it.
Okay. Business. No, that's not no business. Like show business.
Mm-mm.
That's entertainment.
That's entertainment.
There
that's
you go.
That's it. Very good.
Ooh.
Yes.
I need a nap.
What famous song from the 1950s was also a film title later on, was awarded ASCAP's award for the most performed feature
that's
film
the most
standard.
And that's the most performed ASCAP song.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Of the film, regular standard.
Yeah,
American
that's cool.
Songbook.
For the novel, as you said novel, though.
So I did say novel.
You did.
Well, yes, it's a novel.
So it's not like a children's novel.
It's not a children's
okay.
book. No.
And is it, since we're looking at the time, is it post-Dickens? Or the same era?
It is 19th century.
So, 19th century. British
right.
novel that's not Dickens.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let me give you a quick question here. This word has been in the news this week. Jerry's always used to say to me when he didn't want me to answer, he says, I'm going to recuse you from this question.
I remember.
I feel like I should recuse Kira from this question.
Is it a Simpsons question?
Just to see if she nods your head if you know this, okay?
She knew in Biggins way too quickly.
Yeah.
Is this a Simpsons question?
It is not a Simpsons
okay.
question.
All right.
This word was in the news in the last week or so. So the word is kakistocracy.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
All right. I will spell it for you. KAKISTOCRACY. And it was in the news in the last week. I want to know who brought it up and what does it mean?
So spell it again.
Kakistocracy. Mm-hmm. KAKISTOCRACY. Who brought up that word in the last week and what does it mean?
It's a serious word. It's not a jokey word.
It is
right?
a serious word, yeah. yes.
It's been around forever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a real thing. Do we have some kakistocracies in the world right now?
We do.
We do?
Yes. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I had an answer for wanted to know about the showstoppers.
Yes.
Yes.
For Guys and Dolls, was it Adelaide's Lament?
It is Adelaide's Lament.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, very nice. And you could see how that would bring down the house.
Right.
Thank you. Vivian Blaine, go ahead. You have more?
That's all I got.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our studio audience wants to know if kakistocracy is government by the worst people in it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, studio audience.
It is a system of government run by the worst or least qualified people.
I can't imagine who would be saying that under what circumstances now.
You're bringing up the Comey book, right?
I am not. It's not in the Comey book.
Okay.
No, this is by somebody who was in government and is not anymore.
Are we supposed to guess who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we were getting the definition.
It was in a tweet that was widely pushed around the media landscape.
So you don't know, you can answer. How about Paul Ryan?
Not Paul Ryan. No, okay. No. It's the opposite end of the...
Okay. Yeah, it's... Totally
Bernie. Opposite. Bernie Sanders.
Not Bernie.
No. It's No, I do know this. I have to think about it.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of Vermatter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Well, the only thing I was sure about was Ernie Kovacs.
Oh, great.
Oh, I'm sorry I took that. Sorry about that. There's a bill.
The Elvis comedy, could that be Lenny Bruce?
It is Lenny Bruce.
Oh, that
makes, Elvis of stand-up. That's such a great title.
And I knew Kekistocracy, but I don't know who said it this week. South Pacific, Some Enchanted Evening?
Yes, that's one of them. Oh. That's the most romantic of the song Showstoppers. The other one is not like that.
That somehow seems, from what I've read about Jerry, that somehow seems... the title suggests something about him, from what I've heard about.
Deep down, he was a romantic.
Yeah. He was a romantic.
He was.
Yes,
so he was. And like many romantics...
Sounded like he loved Enchanted Evenings. That's really...
He did. Yeah, Leah wrote about that.
Nothing pleased him more than a nice evening in the theater.
Yeah.
And the other South Pacific would be Valley High?
No.
No, okay.
Good guess.
And, I changed my Minds Over Matter name somewhere along the line. I was Andrew from El Sobrante, and then I was Andrew from Oakland. And
you're going south.
And it was. I've been living here for 17 years, which means I've been listening and occasionally calling in for almost 20 years. So
thank you very much for that.
And I didn't know until today that Jerry grew up in Oakland.
He
went to Merritt College.
Right.
And before he went to San Jose State, and I lived down the hill from Merritt College, and as you guys were beginning to talk about Jerry just after 7 o'clock, I looked out my window in East Oakland, and there was a rainbow here.
Oh, that's really nice. So, thank you.
So on an Oakland question and a somewhat musical question, there's a movie. I'll give you more details if you need them. But there's a movie that opens with a train arriving at Oakland's Long Wharf, and it's from it's a movie version of a musical.
Wow.
And it's a train arriving at the Oakland's old Long Wharf, where the trains would come in and drop you off, and you would take the ferry to San Francisco.
Where the key system used to be.
Yeah.
Right. The train would bring you right
there. Yeah, bring you right there. Terrible. And this was a huge train that would come in, and there's this huge shed there. And then you'd get on the train and take the ferry. And this was all filmed at the beginning of this musical, and I can give more details.
Give us a little more details.
1957 was the movie, and so when it was filmed, the Long Wharf had maybe 5 years left to live. It was demolished to create the Port of Oakland with its container cargo and stuff.
Wow! So it's filmed on location in Oakland.
Yes,
a musical.
At the Long Wharf, the beginning, the opening scene, and that showed the ferry ride to San Francisco, and getting off at the ferry building.
Oh.
1957.
Want to tell us someone who's in it, or would that be too
Frank,
much?
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Pal Joey.
Pal Joey.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, see, that's good.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone in with that Frank Sinatra, so thank you for that.
That's great.
Good job.
It's worth seeing the beginning again.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I like all of you guys going on about Jerry. That's quite nice.
Oh.
So I'm going to try for some song things. Oklahoma, Can't Say No.
That's it.
Very good.
I Can't Say No by, you remember, do you know who sang it originally?
No.
Celeste Holmes.
Celeste Holmes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good.
Right.
Yeah. Adu Annie.
What about South Pacific Happy Talk?
No.
And I don't know the song, but the Damn Yankees song, is it sung by the devil?
No.
No.
I'm going to say no.
It's her. But I can't remember that title. So I'll be hanging in there because I've got to find out about the postage stamp because I'm positive I read that book.
It's longer
too old
than
to remember.
The book is longer than a series of six postage stamps, just to let you know.
And the
it's
Yankees,
not Henry James.
No, it is not.
The damn Yankees. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
The damn Yankees might have been the devil. I might be getting my characters confused.
Well, we got. I thought. Didn't we get that? You got to have heart.
Yeah. There's one more though.
There's one more.
Yeah.
Whatever Lola wants.
That's it. Is she the devil? I don't think
she's
she is.
The
she's
devil's
like the
helper.
Devil's assistant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gwen Verdon.
Right.
So whatever Lola wants, we're missing just the other one in South Pacific.
Okay.
Big showstopper.
And next call.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Is the showstopper I'm in love with a wonderful guy?
No, it should be, but it isn't.
There is nothing like a dame?
There is nothing like a dame. That's it. Thank you for getting that.
I asked something about Jerry, and it was interesting. The previous caller mentioned he was born in Oakland, and he wrote a wonderful column during the mill strike about his adventure with another friend from San Jose State, driving back to Oakland and meeting mill students. He's very complimentary.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't know that column. Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about Jerry. In fact, we've just gotten back from we heard it on the radio as soon as we turned it on. We always liked hearing Jerry, although sometimes it kind of frustrated us when he would have some sort of answer, but he didn't seem to look it up. He just, like, went by it.
No, he had his own way of doing things.
He had his own system
things.
Of checking his facts. Part of his charm.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a stickler about accuracy, Sparky, you hang out to that yourself.
Well, yeah, of course. Kara, the movie I think you have in mind is You Light Up My Life.
That is it.
Oh, there you go.
That is absolutely it. Although I have to correct myself. Didi Khan, though the star of the movie, lip-synced the song, so they didn't even use her voice in it.
Was Debbie Boone the other recorder?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think
it was probably Marty Nixon doing the voice for Diddy
Khan. Casey Sissick.
Oh. Did the movie.
Yes.
So that was Pat Boone's daughter, right? Debbie Boone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The song won a Grammy and an Oscar.
Nice.
Yep.
And a word from our sponsor. It's got to be Stan Freberg.
It is Stan Freberg. Thank you, Sparky.
You
and now a laugh from our sponsor is the
yeah.
title. Very right. good.
Yeah, right. He did loads of commercial references. And it spilled directly into, like, he did Great American Soup, something like that.
Yeah, I remember it.
Terrific. And he also had his son on, I believe it was the
Encyclopedia
Britannica.
Right.
He had a report due on space.
All right, we've got to go, Sparky. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
We're done. Bye.
All right, time to clean up here, Kira.
I believe I just have one. Katy Perry was born Catherine Hudson, Kate Hudson.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
My last one went with Stan Freberg.
All right. Nothing. Maybe we'll end up with a little I'll Be Seeing You, if you have that queued up. And
Arthur Conan Doyle. Something by Arthur Conan Doyle.
It is not. The first novel in English to have scenes from it depicted on a postage stamp, Jane Eyre.
Oh.
Jane Eyre.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. My thanks to Kira and Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to Steve Wilcott and David Latulipe. And, of course, our great thanks to Jerry for being here all those years and being our friend and contributing so much to the show and to cultural life in the Bay Area.
You sure did.
And New York, too. So we're going to miss you a lot, Jerry. And,
yeah, we are.
We're going to be thinking about you. And all right. Well, good night, everybody. Have a great week.
In all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything
that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way.
I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new,
I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.